You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
This is the fourth week that we'll be speaking about blessing. I want to talk about the things that God blesses, how God blesses. Also, I want to speak about our participation with God in partnership with Him in blessing others. Beginning with something which we might not necessarily think of, let's talk about geography. God specifically blessed places because of His promise and His presence. In Exodus 20, verse 24, the Lord said, "You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered," that has to do with presence, "in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you." In immediate application, where God has called you to live and where God has called you to worship are places of blessing. So I encourage you, say yes, bless those places because God has blessed them. Another thing that God does is He blesses timing. In Genesis 2, verse 3, it says, "God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made." So here was a day that God rested, and He blessed it. God blesses time. In addition, there are specific times of restoration which God blesses. Haggai 2, verse 19, "Is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you." There is a time, there is a moment where God all of a sudden says, "Now is the time. I'm going to bless you from now on." At times, there can be lengthy, difficult, arduous trials, tragedies. And yet, there is also a time of the end of such trials. And at the end of these trials, God also blesses. Job 42, verse 12. It says, "The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels," etc. Look, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job at the end of his trial more than his beginning. God has a timing to release blessing. There is an end of trial. There is restoration after chastisement. There is a planned day or season of rest. And I encourage you, enter into the principle of rest. Enter into trusting God. And ultimately, with renewed spiritual vision and renewed strength, you will be able to receive the blessing that God intends. So far, we've taken a look at a blessed geography, a blessed timing. Now, moving into personal beings, God and humans are not the only persons who bless. Angels bless. Now we're going to be taking a look at the angel of the Lord, who most likely was the pre-incarnate Messiah. But what the angel of the Lord did, other angels do also. When the pre-incarnate Messiah revealed himself as an angel, I believe that he acted angelically. Now listen, the Messiah was never essentially an angel. Never, 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 never. He was always God, divinity. But this one did become utterly human while not losing his divinity in the slightest. In Genesis 48, verse 16, Jacob said, "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." So he's calling on this angel who redeemed him from all evil. And he said, "Oh, let this angel who has redeemed me from all evil bless these lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." At times, angels would give blessings in their greetings. For instance, Gideon, Judges 6, verse 12, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" That's greeting someone and blessing them. and take a look at Mary or Miriam, the mother of the Messiah Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Coming in, the angel Gabriel, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Again, releasing blessing. Now, angels bless according to God's purposes. They call out and they affirm true identity, and so also are people called to bless. In Hebrews 11, verse 20, it speaks of Isaac blessing both Jacob and Esau. Hebrews 11, verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come." It seems that when it was time for Jacob to bless his children, it seems that this man's blessing was in accordance with what he saw happening in the life of each son. In Genesis 49, verse 28, the text says, "All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one, with the blessing appropriate to him." What was God doing in their lives? Jacob saw it, and he blessed that. Now, God will bless you according to how you have already been blessed. Jacob blessed his sons according to the blessing that was appropriate to him. The Hebrew is talking about he blessed them with the blessing with which they were blessed, and that's why it says the blessing appropriate to him. Well, God has already been involved in blessing your life, and God will bless you according to how he has already blessed you. When we look to bless another person, one of the things that we might do is ask ourselves the question, what are the characteristics of this person that are already blessed? And if we see them, we can bless that person in that area of their lives. So here's the principle that the Messiah Jesus gave, John 5, verse 19. "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So I encourage you, bless that which you perceive already has heaven's blessing. Join with heaven. We are called also to pray into God's revealed purposes. In the area of blessing, Jabez called out to God, so to speak. He initiated and said, "Oh God, bless me." Now, in the life of David, the king of Israel, he was responding to a prophetic word. The words of King David are recorded in 2 Samuel 7, verse 29. "Now therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." So David had an understanding of God's purposes. They had been prophesied to him, and he said, "Oh, Lord, do it. You have spoken a word of blessing. Please do it. Pour in to this house of mine your blessing. May the house of your servant be blessed forever with your blessing." I encourage you to enter in also with gratitude in this process. Do not despise the degree of stewardship which is yours. Do not bury the talent you've been given. Rather, if you see the stewardship, if you see that which God is blessing in your life already, stand with God and bless it as well. And pray about God's purpose to bless you. This is what David did with the prophecy about his dynasty and the Messiah. Are you able to see what God is doing in your life? Take a step back, take a look, see what God has blessed and say, "Yes, Lord, continue to bless and may your blessing increase." One of the things about the strength of God's blessing, at least in the example of Israel in the wilderness, is that God's blessing will make you curse-proof. The primary example of this is Balaam. Numbers 23 verse 8 reads like this, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" That's verse 8. Balaam is in a predicament. He's been hired to curse Israel, but he recognizes that he can't curse Israel if God is not cursing Israel. How can I curse what God hasn't cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? This is good news. Let's take a look at Numbers 23, verses 18 through 24, and listen to what it is that Balaam actually said. "Then he," that is Balaam, took up his discourse and said, "Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" Verse 20, "Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it." Verse 21, "He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel, what God has done. Behold, the people rises like a lioness, and as a lion it lifts itself. It will not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." So Balaam here, he's been hired to curse Israel, and he ends up coming out with numerous blessings, prophecies. The thing which I want you to hear is that when God has blessed, curses fall to the ground. Now, this is rehearsed in sacred history. When Nehemiah was speaking about the history of his people, in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2, it's written, "Because they did not meet the sons of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing." So he's speaking of those who will not have free access to worship God because of the way that they treated the people of God. And they hired Balaam to curse them. But take a look at this. Nehemiah says, "Our God turned the curse into a blessing." In Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, it's written that it was God who stopped Balaam from cursing. Moses said, "Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you." Does God love you? Oh, yes, he does. What's going to happen with curses that are levied against you? Well, they're going to fall to the ground. God is going to turn it around. Again, why did God turn the curse around concerning his people Israel? Because the Lord loved them. Why will God protect you from people speaking evilly of you or seeking to actually invoke a curse against you or pray against you? God will turn the curse around because the Lord loves you. It almost seems that if you are blessed by God, that you are curse-proof. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who is going to curse you before the throne of God? Who is going to accuse you before the throne of God? Whoever may seek to curse, whoever may seek to accuse." I want to let you know something. The Lord has provided a defender for you before the throne of God. It is the Messiah Jesus who has the authority to condemn, who refuses to condemn you. Rather, he is interceding for you. In Psalm 109, the first part of verse 28a and then verses 30 to 31, you see the defiance of those who have been justified by God. Psalm 109, 28a, "Let them curse, but you bless." That's powerful. Verse 30 and 31, "With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul." Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Look at the defiance of the justified ones. God is for me. Who can be against me? I want to exhort us now concerning our blessing other people. there is a strategic outworking of love which is released in blessing others in the midst of warfare. First of all, we need to recognize adversity from God's perspective. Luke 6, verse 22 and 23, sometimes adversity is a blessing. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. If people are coming against you because you're a believer, respond from a place of being blessed and act towards them as you would have them act towards you. Luke 6, now we're looking at verses 27 and 28. But I say to you who hear, this is Jesus speaking, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Bless those who curse you. They want you to fail. You turn around and you bless them and say, oh, may God grant them prosperity in all that which pleases God. Bless those indeed who persecute you. In Romans 12, verse 14, Paul wrote, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If you're being persecuted, take a stand with the Lord and say, oh God, I bless these people who are persecuting me. I do not curse them. I take a stand with you in the way that you love them, in the destiny you have planned for them, in everything that you have ordained for them to do, in the things that are pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. I bless them in the name of the Messiah Jesus. Well, what about if people are slandering you? In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12, the second part of that verse, we have the apostolic testimony. Paul wrote, when we are reviled, we bless. I encourage you by faith to stand in the place of blessing wherein you are already blessed. In Ephesians 1, it says that you have been blessed. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah. So there you are. You have been blessed. Maintain that confidence and bless the place wherein God has blessed you. Yes, I bless this reality. I have been blessed in the Messiah, in the heavenly realm, with every spiritual blessing. But what happens if there's spiritual warfare and the adversary is seeking to make it so that you have lost your confidence in God? Well, in Ephesians 6, Paul says, don't be moved from your position. Stand in that place of blessing. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13, Paul wrote, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. My exhortation to you is that you stand firm in the place of already being blessed. The adversary seeks to accuse. The adversary seeks to make it look as if you are not blessed in God, but you are. You believe in the Messiah Jesus, and you've been blessed in him. So finally, stand fast in your being made righteous. You are in a unique place of favor in the Messiah, and as you maintain your position, keeping your eyes on Jesus, you become curse-proof. God will turn the curse of the adversary, whether it be spiritual or human, into a blessing. God is for you. Who can be against you? Let's recapitulate. God blesses certain aspects of geography, where God has called you to live, where God has called you to worship. These are places of blessing. So you stand with God. Bless those places because God has blessed them. In addition, God has the timing to release manifested blessing, such as the end of a trial, turning points, restoration after chastisement. He has a day of rest for you, a season, a principle of rest for you, which is blessed. So as you are able, receive those blessings and say, yes, the time of manifest blessing and manifold blessings are upon me. They are coming. Angels bless people according to God's purposes. They call out and affirm true identity. Now, you can also look and bless the true identity that you have received from the Lord. And as you see what God is doing in other people's lives, you can bless them as well. And God will bless you according to how you've already been blessed. You take a look at the blessing wherein you've been blessed and say, this is just the beginning. Oh God, sustain and increase the blessing. I encourage us, enter in with gratitude to the process and do not despise the degree of stewardship which is yours. Do not bury the talent you've been given. You have been blessed. Appreciate the blessing and pray about God's purpose to bless you, like David did with the prophecy about the dynasty and the Messiah's coming through David. And finally, stand fast in your being made righteous. You are in a unique place of favor in the Messiah, and as you maintain your position, keeping your eyes on Jesus, you become curse-proof, and God will turn the curse of any adversary, whether it be spiritual or human, into a blessing. After all, God is for you. Who can be against you?
We hope you enjoyed listening to Love and War, which was written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David Harwood and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David Harwood is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the book God's True Love. Copies of David's book can be purchased on loveofgodproject.org and on Amazon. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. If you would like more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, or God's True Love, you can find it on RestorationFellowshipNY.com and LoveOfGodProject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, and Love and War DH. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean. God willing, a new episode of Love and War will be released next week. Thank you for listening.